Amen. I'm going to invite some people up to help me. We're going to start right with our scripture reading this morning from Psalm 107. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to 107. I don't care where you stand. Just find a place somewhere. And please turn with me to Psalm 107. We're going to do the reading today. And as we read this psalm, I want you to listen as various voices are reading it, to pay attention to the different sections of the psalm. And we'll be talking about that later. Hear now God's holy and awesome word from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those who he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south.
Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron.
Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy.
Others went out on the ships of the sea. There were merchants on mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wondrous deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up the tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They revealed and staggered like drunk men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he brought them out of their distress. He stills the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wondrous deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assemblies of the people and praise him in the council of the elders.
He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city there where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you for your help, friends. Well, this summer I had the privilege of sitting around a campfire with my three brothers. My parents had set up a camp up in Sequoia National Forest, and there was this one night when all four of us from our various places ended up there together. We had a campfire for the kids and the whole family, but eventually the kids went to bed, and then eventually my parents went to bed, and it was me there with my three older brothers sitting around the campfire together. It was a pretty precious time for me. And as often is the case when we're in that setting, it was the perfect setup to revisit some of the epic stories of the Vaquero boys. And we had a great time that night just sharing with each other those stories from our childhood and those stories from our adulthood. And I just have this to say, what was shared around the campfire will stay around the campfire. Do you have legendary stories in your family or in your group of friends? Do you have stories that you love to tell again and again and again, things that have happened to you or things that you've done? You see, I believe that God created us to love a good story. And it's something very evident in our culture that spends billions of dollars on movies and on television and on books. Stories, you see, help us connect with others. Stories inspire us. Stories move us. Stories help us think about who we are and who we are not. And God created us to love a good story. And of course, God is already the author of the greatest story that has ever been told. It's the story of His redeeming transformation, of His shalom. It's a story that is still being played out. And for every one of us who has put our faith in Jesus, it's the story that is reflected in our own lives. And so since God has created us to love a good story, and since God's story of redemption is the greatest story of all, and since those of us who have been found in Christ are included in that story, we need to learn to talk about the story. We need to learn to tell the story. And that's one of the main ways that I think this psalm, Psalm 107, is so instructive. You see, Psalm 107 is a psalm of thanksgiving. And most believe it's written for the tribe of Judah to celebrate their return from exile. Remember that they were taken over and then they were scattered. It's return from being scattered in every direction after they were conquered by Babylon. It's a psalm of celebration that tells the story of God's redemption. So look back with me at that beginning verse. The psalmist writes, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." That's a call to worship, isn't it? It's one that we see over and over in the Psalms. It's familiar. It's in many different Psalms. Give thanks to the Lord. Be grateful. Express to Him your gratitude. And why? Because He is good. He is holy. He is righteous. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. He is love. And His love, that word there talks about His covenant faithfulness, His loving kindness. His love endures forever. It never ends. It never lets down. It never goes away. God is God, and He could be whoever He wants to be. And we would just have to kind of deal with it because He could be whatever kind of God that He wants. But He is good. And His love endures forever. So no matter what is happening in our lives, He is good. And His love endures forever. No matter what storms are raging and tossing you back and forth right now, He is good. His love endures forever. No matter what trials that we face, He is good. And His love endures forever. No matter how we suffer, and we are bound to suffer, He is good, and His love endures forever. Church, how are you at nurturing a heart of thanksgiving with the Lord? We are called to give thanks to Him, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. And one of the ways that we're called to give thanks to Him is by telling the story. Look at verses 2 and 3. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west and north and south." That's a verse I encourage you to underline, especially that first place, that first part of it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. We've already sung it a bunch. I'm so glad we started with that song because that's the way I learned this verse. The ESV has it that way. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hence the name of the sermon. Say so. The newest version of your NIV says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And the Message version says it this way, all you who are set free by God, tell the world. The psalmist wants the people who have been redeemed, who have been set free, who have been made new. The psalmist wants those kinds of people to say so, to tell their story, to speak out loud what the Lord has done in their lives, to give testimony. And why such a big deal on speaking? Why such a big deal on telling the story versus just thinking about it in our minds? It's because there's power in words. The verb that's used here for speak, the verb that's translated say, is the same verb that's used to describe God's action in Genesis 1. When God said, let there be light, and there was light. So our words don't have power to create something out of nothing like God's words do. But as we are made in the image of God, our word, the things that we say, do have power. Right? You remember the words that have power in your life, power of death, and you might remember the words that have had power to give you life. Our words have power in them, power to give blessing, power to give praise, power to give encouragement to others, and to give glory to God. So the psalmist writes, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them tell their story. Let them tell the world. There is power in what we speak. Not only for others, but for ourselves as well. And I have more I want to speak about to you about that. But let's examine the rest of the psalm first and we'll come back to it. So one of the clues that this psalm was written for the Judah tribe returning from exile is what it says in verse 3 when it talks about the redeemed. It says those he gathered from the lands, from east and west and north and south. And then the psalm gives us four examples of the kinds of people that have been gathered and have been redeemed. And as you probably heard in those various voices as we read the whole psalm, the refrain that separates the descriptions of each of those things. And you probably heard also the common theme in each of those voices, in each of those kinds of people, God's rescue. It's as if the psalmist is giving examples of the stories that can be told of God's incredible redemption. So that first group is found in verses 4 through 9. We can call this group the wanderers. They had no home. The scripture says no city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty and their lives ebbed away. They were wanderers. But then as they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, it says he delivered them from their distress. He gave them a city where they could find a home. Imagine how good that would be if you hadn't had one. And then the refrain in verse 8, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. He satisfies them. He fills them. That's the first group. The second group, verses 10 through 16, we can call the second group the prisoners. In verse 10, it says, some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners for suffering in iron chains. They were subjected in that prison, in that imprisonment to bitter labor, like they were slaves because of the rebellion against God. But then, as they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, it says, he saved them from their distress. So the psalmist writes again in verse 15, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, the one who breaks the chains of imprisonment. The second group is the prisoners. The third group is the foolish, verses 17 through 22. The foolish suffering because of their foolish decisions. They, even though they were near death, when they cried to the Lord, it says he saved them from their distress and sent forth his word and healed them. Isn't that a beautiful image? It's like the word of God is an angel that goes to them in their self-inflicted strife and brings them healing. Have you ever experienced the Word of God bring you healing? It's a beautiful picture of God's rescue. So again, verse 21, the refrain rings out, the chorus of this psalm. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. And then finally, the fourth group, verses 23 through 32, is described as sailors, but they're also described as those who are caught in the storm. And while at sea, they experienced mighty storms, waves that took them as high as the heavens and as low as the depths. Their courage melted. Their lives were reeling. They were at their wits' end. But then when they cried to the Lord in their trouble, He brought them out of their distress. Verse 29, He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. The Lord brought them safely to shore. And so along with the wanderers and the prisoners and the foolish, those who were caught in the storm are exhorted by the psalmist. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. And notice in verse 32 that they're supposed to do that publicly. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. So who are these redeemed of the Lord who are commanded to say so? Commanded to tell their story? Well, they are wanderers who had no place to belong, but had been given a home by God. They are those who were imprisoned and enslaved, but had been set free by God. They are the foolish who, like the prodigal son, found themselves in the pit, but were rescued by the loving Heavenly Father. They are those who were caught in the middle of a storm, who had lost all hope and had lost all courage of ever being saved, but who had been delivered safely to shore by God. And maybe today you feel like you're in one of those places. Maybe today you feel like you're one of those kinds of people. A wanderer without a place to belong. Imprisoned. Enslaved. Foolish. Or in the midst of a storm. Beloved, hear the good news that's stated over and over in this psalm, in verse 6 and in verse 13 and in verse 19 and verse 28. When they cried to the Lord in their trouble, what did He do? He delivered them. He saved them. He brought them out of their distress. And the same is true for us. God loved the world so much that He sent the one and only Son to take on the punishment that we deserve for our foolishness on the cross, on His death on the cross, and then to make manifest the full power of God over sin and over death in His resurrection from the dead, so that when we call on the Lord Jesus Christ with faith in Him, with belief in Him, with surrender to Him, when we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead and confess with our mouths that He is our Lord, we are saved. We are delivered. We are set free. And so today, if you have never put your faith in Jesus, today you can make the day of your salvation by surrendering your life to Jesus, by putting your faith in Him. You too can be saved. And still, after just maybe that time that we were saved and we continue to walk with the Lord, when we call on the Lord in our distress, He continues to save us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the psalmist writes in that final section to remind us that He is the only one who can save. He says, God is the one who judges and God is the one who redeems. He is the one who in judgment turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into a thirsty ground. But He is also the one who in redemption turned desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. You see, church, there is no situation that is outside of His power to redeem. There is no person who's beyond the reach of His love. If anyone is in distress today, may their cry be to the Lord. And he may not immediately take away the pain. He may not immediately remove you from the difficult situation. He likely will not save you from all suffering, since the scripture says, as followers of Jesus, we will suffer. But he will hear your prayer for help. The Creator, the awesome Lamb of God, he will hear your prayer. He will be with you in the struggle by his Spirit, and he will bring glory to himself. And his glory is always good for those of us who belong to the Lord. So may it be today for us that in our distress, that we would cry out to the Lord for his salvation, for his help, for his deliverance. And finally, after testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony, and then the final testimony of God's power of judgment and redemption, the psalmist ends with a proverb, last verse. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. So those who are wise, take time to consider the great love of the Lord. When was the last time that you really took time to consider the great love of the Lord in your life? It's not the same as simply asking what it is that you're grateful for. It's spending time discerning and recognizing and understanding how the great love of the Lord has been at work in your life. Those who are wise consider, that word means they think about it, they discern, they understand the great love of the Lord in their own life. And when we do that, when we take time to consider that, then we are able to heed these things, that we're set up to obey the instructions of this psalm. And essentially, there were just two kind of overarching primary instructions of this psalm that are summed up perfectly in those first two verses back to the top. First, we are to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. If we are wise, we will heed his instruction. We will publicly and privately, we will individually and corporately give thanks to the Lord for his work in our lives. And second, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If we are redeemed, this psalm tells us to say it. It tells us to talk about it. It tells us to tell the story. So, church, how are you experiencing the great love of the Lord? And are you talking about it? If you are redeemed through faith in Christ, how are you doing at saying so? How are you doing at telling the story of God's work in your life? You see, one of the ways that we want to grow as a church, as First Presbyterian Church Fresno, is we want to grow in the art and skill of testimony, of sharing the story of what God is doing in our lives. Not just the story of what God did one time at camp a long time ago, but the story of what God is continuing to do in our lives today and now. The story of what God is doing in our lives. And when we grow in that as individuals, it will help us begin to see God's work in our lives more clearly. The end of the psalm says that the upright see and rejoice. The upright recognize God's work and God's intervention and God's salvation, and they rejoice in that. So because we're able to articulate it, we actually grow more confident in the way that God is moving in our lives. Some of you here aren't sure if God is moving in your life. But if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have put your faith in him, I guarantee you God is moving in your life. And so when we grow in that, we begin to see it more clearly and become more confident that in what God is doing. And when we grow in telling those kinds of stories to one another, then we encourage each other. Then we inspire each other. Then we help each other grow in Christ. You know that there may be another person here this morning who needs to hear you tell your story, because they need to be encouraged by it, by what the Lord has done. And when we begin telling the world those stories, they begin to recognize the reason behind your love, the reason behind your joy, the reason behind your transformation. And God uses that to bring glory to himself. So here's what I encourage you to do this week. It's very simple and straightforward as a way to just live out what I think this psalm calls us to do. First, I want you to ask the Lord to help you recognize His work in your life. Can you just write out the things that God has done in your life very specifically? Can you think about how God has changed you? Can you speak those things right now? Ask God to help you recognize the things that He's changed in you. Because that's what God is doing for those of you who have given your life to Christ. He is making you like His Son. That means He's changing you. How has He changed you? How has He allowed you to experience Him? How has He made Himself known to you? Make a list of those things. Literally write them out and give God praise for them. That's like a private worship service right there I'm setting up for you sometime this week. And give thanks to the Lord for His wonderful deeds in your life. Number one, ask God to help you recognize His great work in your life. Number two, share one of those stories of the Lord's work in your life with another believer. Okay? Another believer, that means a friendly audience. So if you are one of the people that somebody tells a story to, remember, you're a friendly audience. You're excited to hear what they have to say. And as we do that, I bet that person might even help you articulate even more clearly what it is that God has done. Because they'll say, wow, have you ever thought about how God has done this in you or how God brought that together? Share one of those stories of the Lord's work in your life with another believer. That's the second thing. And the third thing, ask the Lord every day this week to give you the opportunity to share a story, whether it's 10 seconds long or 10 minutes long or longer. To share a story of His work in your life with someone who has not yet put their faith in Him. Ask the Lord every day to give you an opportunity to share a story of His work in your life with someone who has not yet put their faith in Him. First, ask the Lord to help you remember and know and consider and think about what it is that He's done in your life. Second, share one of those stories with a friendly audience, with another believer. And third, ask the Lord every day to give you the opportunity to share a story of His work in your life with someone who has not yet put their faith in Him. And then, boy, I hope that God gives you the courage when that opportunity comes to share the story. The Scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let all who are set free by God tell the world. May this week we speak. We tell the story, we say so, the story of God's incredible redemption in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Oh God, we thank You so much. You are at work. Lord, You are at work in our lives individually. You are at work in our lives corporately, together as a church. God, You are at work. You are drawing wanderers to a place that they can call home. You are calling those enslaved into a place of freedom. You are calling the ones who have made foolish decisions into wisdom and into salvation and into deliverance. You are calling those who are caught in a storm into calm waters. You are calling us, God. You are saving us. You are moving in us for Your glory. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. We give thanks to the Lord for His wonderful deeds in our lives. Help us now as redeemed people to say so, to join in creation and in giving You praise, that the rocks won't cry out in our place, but we will speak, Lord. We will speak. We will speak. We will tell the story. And for anyone here, Lord, who is yet to put their faith in You, help them to see today clearly that You are the God who saves. You are the God who saves. That they would put their faith in You even now. And that they would tell somebody. That they would join the chorus of the redeemed who say so. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody who agreed said, amen. Song, huh? What a song. Every one of us who has put our faith in Jesus, someone came and told us the story. Someone came and spoke words of life. Someone came and spoke gospel. If someone has done that for you, If someone who has done that for me, so will I do it for someone else. May we be people who speak, made in the image of our Creator, who spoke life into being. May we speak, may we, the redeemed of the Lord, say so, and watch God work through that and in that. And as you go out in that, I invite you to receive now this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's redeemed people said, Amen. Go in peace.